So, here we are once again. Do you remember where you were last Easter? What you were doing or what you were thinking, whether you came to a service such as this? Do you remember what you thought about last year or the year before? Or have they all blended into one difficult to remember, separate? The good thing about repetition is that it helps us. It helps us as a gift, isn't it, to us? To repeat the same thing again and again. Because each time we do it, although it is the familiar and the same, new things strike us. So I wonder what tonight will strike you afresh, even though you know this story really well. I've entitled it The Towel and the Bowl. These two things, they were symbols of the early church, the towel. And now clergy wear a towel around their neck. It echoes the teaching scarf, but perhaps more accurately, it was seen to be the towel of service. And the bowl, a humble bowl. You may see it etched in the walls of catacombs. Simple image. So what is tonight about? Tonight is the battle between powers. World-changing powers that dominate our lives, your life and my life. The reality of the way the world is, shaped by powers, unseen and seen. And this story comes to a climax tonight as we are entering into the greatest of all battles. The precursor to the battle of battles. Here we are, gathered around a table. It's a story of power. I don't know if you noticed in the reading as we read it together, the evening meal was in progress and the devil had already prompted Judas, his presence already in the room, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus was confident of this truth that he was safe in God's hands and that even though Satan was at work and doing his best to bring things to a place of chaos, that in fact the Father had put all things under his authority and power. Maybe we need to hear that once again tonight for our own lives. And that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. I don't know if you've noticed the move from one thing to another. He knows that God has given him all power. And so he gets up from the meal and he takes a towel and he wraps it around his waist. So this is the symbol of servant service, of humility, of bending the knee. And then he gets some water. And fills the bowl. Power kneels on this evening. Power gets down low. Power humbles himself. He took off his outer clothing. It's the beginning of Jesus revealing his true inner vulnerable self to us. He wraps a towel around his waist and he pours waters into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. There's an intimacy and closeness in this story that shocks us even to this day. I wonder which part of us needs washing this evening. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but after you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you'll never wash my feet." Sometimes we carry these things in our lives, don't we, which are full of shame and awkwardness, complexity. And having people get close to those things feels uncomfortable, and so we avoid them at all costs. But Jesus is here to wash, and he comes to wash Simon Peter's feet. "Unless I wash you, you'll have no part with me," he says. So Simon, he's all in, isn't he? "Okay, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done?" he said. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you." I think Jesus is serious about this. It's one of the last things he says. And I've been mulling on this. What does it mean for me to follow Jesus in this way? To get down on my knees again and pick up a towel and to get close to people's vulnerabilities and hidden shame. And what does it mean to receive that from someone else? To allow someone else to see your vulnerability and your shame. I wonder what kind of community Jesus wants to create out of us. I wonder if this is a picture of what we're supposed to be like. The thing is that this happens so rarely, doesn't it, in our church life. It happens so rarely even in our life groups where we begin to build up trust with one another. We so rarely share our vulnerabilities with one another. And when we do, we fear so strongly. We mull on it overnight and we don't know what to do with. We worry that we've overstepped the mark. And I think this is, Jesus is saying, "I want you to go deeper than you've ever gone into a community together." And I wonder whether we could step even just a little bit further forward into community as we ponder on this marvel of a story. "Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And I wonder how much blessing we miss out on because we never truly reveal ourselves or pick up the towel and humble ourselves. So what does that word mean to you? When was the last time you experienced it and felt it to be true and real in your life? Love. 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 It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. A new command I give to you: love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. 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 By this, everyone will know that you are my apprentices, if you love one another. Which leaves us, a few thousand years later, wondering how we might follow this master, this Lord. Let us wonder and pray and see if we could become like Jesus and do the things that Jesus did. Amen.